What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
What's going on, everybody? Today on the show, are we putting too much faith into quarterbacks who have had one good year and running backs who have had about six good games? It's going to be a fun show today. It's a good day. It's a beautiful day. It's a new week. I got a haircut. The weather's nice. Easter was great. Heath didn't win the March Madness pool. Everything is just beautiful. Good morning, guys. What's up, Heath?
Yeah, I like I said last week, when you're as chalky as my bracket was, you need absolutely everything to go right. And Baylor crushed Houston and crushed my hopes. Congratulations to whoever wins.
Jamie, how about that shot, that Gonzaga shot?
It was awesome. It was a fun game. One of the best college basketball games I think anybody's ever seen, and certainly one of the best endings. So I'm hoping, you know, we're obviously recording this before the championship game, so I'm hoping the championship game is just as fun. But great, great drama and just, you know, fun seeing it all unfold.
That was really awesome. And, yeah, looking forward to tonight. I thought UCLA got hosed a little bit. I thought that the charge call at the end of regulation was should have been a block, and UCLA probably should have won the game.
Well,
yeah, there was some questionable calls, but that happens.
And you did get hosed a little bit if you lose on a banked-in 40-footer. Like, great shot, awesome moment for sports. It sucks for the UCLA guys.
It does, but it was also a tie game at that point. It's not like they would have won had he not made that, but yeah. Tremendous, tremendous game. Had to wake my wife up to watch the ending. I was like, you got to watch this. She fell asleep. She woke up like with 20 seconds left. I rewound it, and then she fell asleep with about 10 seconds. I'm like, no, stay awake. You have to watch this. And then, yeah, it was pretty awesome. Even she was like, this is incredible. All right, so news and notes. We'll do this quickly. We got a lot of emails. I'm trying to clear out the inbox because you've sent a ton of emails, and I haven't been able to read them on the show. So we're going to like 8 of them today. But let's start with the news and notes. And then I'll ask some rankings questions about year two running backs, about young quarterbacks, about the 49ers, about Ryan Tannehill versus Kirk Cousins, and one other thing. First, let's start. Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to open camp as a starter, but there will be a competition. I don't know that we even need to react to these things, so if you guys want to hop in, just hop in. Deshaun Watson is now being investigated by Houston police. I'm not sure that this is a major change. Just, there's a criminal complaint. So anyway, we still have to see how this situation resolves itself. Denver expects offensive tackle Juwan James to play this season. He opted out last year. That'll help for them. A couple of quarterbacks had minor surgeries. Matthew Stafford, minor thumb surgery. Tom Brady, minor knee surgery. Here's one we can react to. Jamie, Bruce Arians said he expects Keyshawn Vaughn to have a breakout season. What do you make of that? That would be the number three running back on the Bucs. Keyshawn Vaughn, year two guy. What do you make of that?
I expect you to be a good co-manager of our fantasy baseball team. So both those things probably not going to happen. Look, Keyshawn Vaughn was someone that I was kind of hopeful for, certainly last year, but even this offseason before the Leonard Fournette re-signing, because I thought, okay, if it's Ronald Jones and Keyshawn Vaughn, you know what Ronald Jones is, you know what his role is with Bruce Arians, and obviously he's been great whenever Fournette has not been on the field, but just getting another guy an opportunity to maybe take some of those reps and maybe get an opportunity to showcase himself. But with three guys there, it's going to take an injury probably for multiple games for him to have an opportunity to even get on the field for a significant stretch. So unless the Bucs lose Jones or lose Fournette for any period of time, it's hard to see Keyshawn Vaughn having a significant role. I still would hold him in Dynasty, but It's going to be probably another lost season of him being productive, barring an injury.
I think there's a chance he could be the best second year back relative to his rookie year production.
Now, what about this scenario? He's actually the best Bucks back because Jones and Fournette split the early down work. He's the third down guy. He's the only one who catches any significant amount of passes. And we're like, well, we're going to sit both Bucks running backs because they stink every week. You can't predict them every week. But Keyshawn Vaughn's a number three guy in PPR. What about that scenario?
I just don't know why we would think they're going. They threw 10 passes to him last year, and they threw the ball to Leonard Fournette like 75 times. And those 10 passes, he caught half of them and averaged 3.4 yards per target. So
well,
it's not like he did
something.
How
else is he going to break out, Heath?
Yeah, I think it's just Bruce Arians. Like, I thought this was, you just put that in the notes so we could all giggle and then move on.
Okay, yeah, it's fine. I guess what I gave out was worst case scenario. Matt Nagy is going to call plays in 2021 to kind of split.
Worst case scenario.
Exactly, yes.
Oh, you don't like this?
I don't think it changes very much. But, you know, he was the play caller for them when they made their playoff run his rookie season as the head coach. And then things fell off the rails last year, so. Who knows? I mean, it's all going to come down to Andy Dalton. If Andy Dalton's fine, this offense will be, you know, probably better than we anticipate. If Andy Dalton's Andy Dalton, bad Andy Dalton, then it's probably going to be a frustrating season for Allen Robinson and David Montgomery in particular.
Yeah, someone had tweeted, and I don't know if I can find it fast enough, but like the Bears offense and how much better they were. They averaged 19.8 points per game when Matt Nagy called plays, 27.7 when Bill Lazor called plays. They averaged 82.
Year, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
82 rushing yards compared to 129 under Lazor. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't good last year compared to the other option for calling plays.
So Lazor was calling plays late in the year?
Yes.
Yeah, when the schedule was
right. That's
junk.
When the schedule was, when all the run defenses, the bad run defenses, they all decided to play the Bears. And then David Montgomery ran wild, but it's interesting. And Andy Dalton is going to start for the Bears. Matt Nagy confirmed he will, at the very least, enter as a starter, but plan is for Andy Dalton to start. Okay, a week unlike another, or that's probably supposed to be any other, is finally here. The Masters returns to Augusta National, where Dustin Johnson will defend his green jacket. Go join the First Cut Golf podcast, where the entire crew is previewing this year's tournament. From storylines to picks and even daily fantasy advice, the First Cut has you covered. The First Cut Golf podcast is available wherever you're listening to this podcast. And if you go to cbssports.com/podcast, you can see all of our shows, and we've got really something for everyone. You've got golf, you got combat sports, you got football, you got baseball, you got just basically a great gambling podcast. Nothing personal with David Sampson, all things covered with Bryant McFadden and Patrick Peterson. Outstanding lineup of podcasts. Please check it out. Jamie thinks I'm a bad fantasy baseball co-manager.
Not thinks. Knows.
Heath,
first off, all right, Heath.
I had two. Okay, all right, fine. Jamie's going to frame it in an inaccurate way, and then I will come and
clarify.
You
frame it your way, and I'll tell you where you're wrong.
We had two open roster spots on our team, and because we were moving players to the IL.
You already skipped over part of it.
And I picked up two players with those open roster spots before other people could. I wanted to beat the rush.
Heath is in the league.
No, he's not.
You're not in the league anymore?
No.
Oh, okay. So in any event, we were trying to finish up the draft before the start of the season. And Adam, as the commissioner, decided that he was going to do a – we did slow draft. We always do slow draft. Adam was going to do a one-shot draft to finish up the rest of the draft. And didn't include me in the picks that we made.
Okay. See, again – completely inaccurate. What I did was I said the season starts on Thursday. We're doing a slow draft. We have been doing it for like a week and a half. And mm-hmm. I said, if we're not done by Wednesday at 4 p.m., we're going to do a live draft with 1 minute on the clock. Wednesday at 4 p.m. You know how many picks were left? Six picks. One half of one round was left.
One of those picks your teams?
Yeah, one pick. Okay. All we needed was a catcher. So I took the highest rated catcher, and that was it.
Didn't include me.
So that, from my understanding,
in the two ad drops, didn't include me in the team name change.
That's
that
true.
He decided to do on his own. Then He texts me last night and says, hey, I put in for two moves. Tell me what you think. So I go and I check. I disagree with both of them. I give him a suggestion of a player.
I fell asleep.
He totally dismissed my suggestion.
I fell asleep.
Picked up the player who I said, I don't know if we should pick him up.
No, I put the claims in and I fell asleep as you were giving your suggestions.
Yep.
So I just want to understand. Four roster spots and a team name.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So far.
We had already.
I want to make sure because you're sharing a team with someone else, and you've just done this without asking their permission at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had already discussed
only
the
one possible response. You idiot moron! Ugh, I hate you.
We had already discussed the team name, though. Like I knew Jamie was on board with the team name.
It was so far out of left field that I even said to him, hey, I think somebody stole our shtick of how we name our teams. And he goes, no, that's us.
We had already talked about that possible team name. And the guy we named our team after is on our team. All right. Well, anyway, I did some bad things, but it wasn't as bad as Jamie makes it out to be. Okay. I'll take some responsibility.
What did I elaborate?
Well, you acted like I picked half our team in the live draft. I picked our last pick. Which was a catcher. All right, so anyway, Jamie said, Adam and I share a fantasy baseball team. He A, changed the team name without telling me, and B, made ad drops without telling me. What should his punishment be? You both punch each other in the face. He'll hurt his hand, and you'll hurt his face. Perfect punishment.
I like that one.
Yeah. Kick him out of the league. Heath said, name his team The Idiot Moron, and that's good. Eat a Butterfinger. I'm not eating a Butterfinger. That's just, it's your fault, Jamie. You should have expected it. I kind of agree with that one. Let's see. Well, there was some good shave his head. That's not happening. Make him do a show on his own and he can't drop a single Azer stat. That would be tough. This is interesting. Make him draft a kicker with his first pick in the FFT league.
I like that one.
Yeah, I don't think so. All right. Now these were good ones. Thank you for all of your horrible suggestions. Jamie's not going to punch me in the face. Okay. Back to the show. Tomorrow we can talk about some of the Pro Football Focus offensive line grades. The Giants had the worst pass blocking grade and the Chargers had the worst run blocking. That was interesting. But here are some random fantasy questions related to your rankings. Let's start with this. Josh Allen had two seasons where he was not a very good passer. His second season, though, he was a good fantasy quarterback because he had a bunch of rushing yards and 8 or 9 rushing touchdowns, which he's had in all 3 seasons. And Kyler Murray was great. He was a breakout last year, was the number 1 quarterback in fantasy before re-aggravating his shoulder injury against the Seahawks. The question is, are we going to overpay for Josh Allen and Kyler Murray? Heath, it's a vague question, so I'll give you you can define it however you want, but are we going to overpay for Josh Allen and Kyler Murray? And just, you look at Dak Prescott, I would say is more proven a little. Russell Wilson certainly is. Deshaun Watson certainly is. And yet I think a lot of people will have Allen and Murray 2 and 3. What do you think? Are we going to overpay for them?
I think a lot of times we overpay for the guys right after the number 1 quarterback. We've talked about that with the tight ends as well. Like once you get past whoever you consider to be in that elite group with Kittle, Kelsey, Waller, probably. And I think like you said, Josh Allen was not a very good passer for 2 years. And that's kind of was still true of Kyler Murray. Like his yards per attempt were still well below average. His touchdown percentage was still pretty mediocre. So I think there's a good chance if they're the number 2 and number 3 quarterback and they're going off the board, like let's say a round after Mahomes or within the same round range as Mahomes, then yes, they're going to be overvalued. I've got them actually behind Lamar Jackson and in the same tier as Dak and Russell Wilson. I think Dak and Russell Wilson are probably going to go considerably later than those two.
Jamie, what do you think? Are we overpaying for Josh Allen and Kyler Murray?
Probably so, just based on the definition of what overpaying is, like Heath was saying. But I think, you know, the thing about it is there a defined 2 through 5 for really anybody, including people that are drafting? Because you can make a case for Lamar Jackson at 2. You can make a case for if Deshaun Watson is playing and there's no issues at 2. You can make a case for Dak Prescott at 2. You know, so it's not just, I think, those 2 guys and in the 2-3 spot. And I think that's where fantasy managers are going to play. The smart ones are going to play it right. And okay, let somebody take 2, 3, 4, 5 and I'll just take 6, you know, and that's, I think, the smart way to do it. We've also seen, which has played itself out more times than not recently, you know, Aaron Rodgers last year wasn't drafted as a top 10 guy, was the number one quarterback. The year before was Lamar Jackson. The year before that was Patrick Mahomes. You know, so whether it's a young guy on the rise, like the two young kids in Mahomes and Jackson, or a veteran guy that can still bounce back and play well, you know, that's, I think, the way you have to sort of approach the quarterback position. But we're seeing now, I mean, average draft position is telling us that unless it's a 2QB or super flex league, they're starting to falter around to the top guy. And that's pushing the other guys down. So when you say reach for those guys, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily the same case as it was a couple of years ago based on what the production has been.
What do you mean? Sorry.
I don't think we're seeing, like, you know, typically we would see maybe 2 or 3 quarterbacks go in the first round.
Oh, okay, okay.
We're not seeing that anymore. And again, I'm just going average draft position. You know, I think our audience is obviously a little bit smarter than that. But the novice average fantasy player, I think, is seeing that as well.
So you think that people will not be drafting Josh Allen and Kyler Murray or anybody other than Mahomes the way they were drafting Lamar Jackson last year?
No, because Jackson was coming off a record-breaking season. Mahomes the year before was coming off 5,050. You know, I mean, it's hard to say that these guys are in that category. Now, they could get there, clearly, but, you know, especially with 17-game season. But, you know, the quarterback position, you know, it's not just, you know, like we've been saying this for years. Other people have been saying this for years. The entire industry is saying this, you know, and it's hard to go anywhere where you're looking for fantasy advice. ESPN, Yahoo, any of the other, you know, sites that we compete with. Where everybody's not saying the same thing. You know, you may have one or two people that say, hey, go, you know, zag when everybody else is zigging, whatever the case may be, you know, take the quarterback early and get that player. Somebody's going to say that, and that's fine. But the position is just so deep. It just doesn't make sense to reach for any of those guys, as good as they are, as good as Mahomes, Allen, and Kyler are. It just doesn't make sense because we've seen regression. We've seen what happened to Mahomes. It was injury related. His year after the 5,050. Lamar Jackson wasn't the same guy because maybe he was tweaking some things, not running as much until the second half of the season. Aaron Rodgers is going to fall off just by the nature of being a 37-year-old quarterback and things changing for him. So, you know, the number one guy is not going to be the same. There's going to be 4 or 5 guys in the mix. Just doesn't make sense to reach for any of those guys.
I guess I'm pretty interested to see what the order ends up being. You know, the ADP is going to change so much. Heath, I want to follow up on your Kyler Murray comment about his passing and what you make of the fact that you talked about his yards per attempt specifically. It was 7.1 in 2020. It was 6.9 as a rookie. So first of all, what's a good number? What do you want to see?
I think last year, league median was right around 7.5. It used to be that 7 was pretty close to average, but as we've seen with passing in the NFL, they're getting more efficient, and defenses obviously have had some things taken away from them in terms of stopping that. So I think if you're below 7.5, then you were below average. Now, okay. He does enough with his legs where he's still an awesome.
But he was at 7.57, I believe, yards per attempt before that Seattle game. So that's what I wanted to get your take on. It was really two different seasons for him, right? I mean, he was the number one quarterback. He hurt his shoulder. He didn't hurt his shoulder in the Seattle game. He re-aggravated the shoulder in the Seattle game, and that's when he said that, you know, the trouble started. He's kind of downplayed it. But he was the number one quarterback in fantasy, on pace for 30 touchdown passes, I think, and about 4,200 yards, almost 7.6 yards per attempt. So in that average, slightly above average range. So, you know, what does that mean to you? And then it really tanked after he re-aggravated the shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's relevant. I would still prefer to see him, like, have a full season where he's an above-average passer or even average passer.
Okay.
What do you see typically from rushing quarterbacks? Because I would imagine that number probably goes one way or the other. I would imagine it's not probably close to – because when quarterbacks break containment, you know, they're – like Lamar Jackson's looking downfield, for example – you know, like, and Kyler maybe not so much. You know, I don't know. I'm asking because I don't know. The other part of it is, I think also with Kyler, and it ties into Josh Allen, what did you see these two franchises do? After year one, they added pieces. After year two, adding pieces. You know, so I don't know if AJ Green's the answer to Kyler Murray. I would probably lean toward no, but at least it's something that's hopefully an upgrade of a player who can do some different things for this offense and help their young quarterback continue to grow.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a mixed bag. A lot of times what you see is that the running quarterbacks don't throw very much, and so their efficiency might look a little bit better. Now, Kyler's a different story. He runs a bunch and still might throw it 600 times. But Lamar's at 7.5 for his career, which is pretty close to average over that three-year stretch. Cam was at 7.2 last year and 7.3 for his career. So, but Cam played a lot of games in a league where the rules were a little different and the averages were a little worse.
So for the most part, though, the running quarterbacks that you're looking at least a quick glance, they're league median or below.
No.
Yes.
No. Well, I mean, I'm looking at it right now. Deshaun Watson led the NFL 8.9 yards per attempt. Josh Allen was fifth, 7.9. Ryan Tannehill's fairly mobile, 7.9. Russell Wilson, 7.5. And then, yeah, Lamar Jackson, 7.3. He was below. Kyler Murray, 7.1. He was below. I don't know who else you want to look at there, but.
Well, I think I was looking more at career numbers. Yes, last year that was the case. I think like the point that you just illustrated there is the same point that, yes, they're mostly right around league average maybe, but Kyler's been worse than all of them.
Okay. So next question. Next question is about the year two running backs. This honestly might be the most important question that we have to answer going into drafts, and it is, did the year two running backs really show you enough in their rookie seasons? Because seven of them are going to be taken in the first 3 to 4 rounds. And only one of them, who was an undrafted free agent on the worst team in football, only one of them, James Robinson, was consistent throughout the season. For the rest of them, it was really a 6-week stretch for a lot of them. Exactly 6 weeks, kind of strange. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And so, you know, I went back and I looked at all of the year two running backs in the last 6 seasons. I'll go through that research in a bit after you guys talk about it. But we are going to be investing very heavily in this group, Heath. Did they really show us enough, or are we taking a small sample size and putting too much stock in it with for the entirety of the group? I know obviously Robinson's different, but Jonathan Taylor, James Robinson, Cam Akers, J.K. Dobbins, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Antonio Gibson, DeAndre Swift. What do you think? Did they show us enough as rookies?
This is more of a what's the perception going to be when we get to July and all the drafts are happening? But because I might be a wrong guy to ask, because I think I have most of these guys ranked or projected similarly or worse than where they finished last year. So I don't know. I think it's questionable whether Jonathan Taylor showed us quite enough to be a top 6 pick, but he was also an elite prospect coming in, so that's a little bit different.
But was he an elite prospect? That's the thing. You know, when you look at a guy like
Joe Burrow, that's true.
When you look at a guy, but it's seriously. I mean, when a lot of the running back. Okay, does anybody realize that we ever talk about this? The 2017 NFL draft class of running backs: Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt, James Conner, Tariq Cohen, Marlon Mack, Aaron Jones. Now, Fournette and McCaffrey were top 10 picks. I would say that Dalvin Cook and Joe Mixon would have been first-round picks, but they had serious off-field issues, and they fell to the second round.
Cook, no. There was some rumors about Cook.
No, there was a lot swirling around him, but
yes, but I don't think it was ever proven. Mixon's in a different category. I wouldn't put those two guys in the same category.
Okay, that's fair. Mixon, we know what he did. Cook had rumors swirling around him about the people he hung around with, that kind of stuff. So you're right. I shouldn't have characterized him like that. So thank you for correcting that. None of these guys were first-round picks in 2020, except for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who was the last pick of the first round. So when we're calling Jonathan Taylor an elite prospect, he wasn't a Barkley prospect. He wasn't a Zeke prospect. He wasn't a Fournette prospect.
He was not drafted like them, for sure. He was not drafted like them.
At his position, though, he was considered an elite prospect.
Like, we're talking about a guy that had just run for 4,000 yards and 37 touchdowns in his last 2 seasons.
He had 2,000 yards a season, yeah.
Yeah, and ran a 4.39. Like, he had a 98th percentile 40-yard dash at his position. His speed score was even better.
All right. You guys could be absolutely right about that. Anyway, back to the question. Where were we?
Well, I think it's – just to go a little further, like, it's such a different question for each of them. I think the Taylor, Swift, Akers group, you could definitely ask that question about James Robinson. We're not going to draft anywhere close to what he showed us. So that's not really fair to lump him in there. I think Gibson and Clyde are probably going to get drafted pretty close to where they finished.
Well, I think the thing to look at it is just based on where things ended to where things are now, each of them individually, only one of their situations really got worse, and that's Swift, because he gets a quarterback downgrade and better competition. As of now, nobody else got significantly worse. Now, you could say Robinson maybe because of Carlos Hyde, just because there's somebody else there that's got NFL experience. But Akers gets a quarterback upgrade and loses a body because Malcolm Brown is gone. Edwards-Helaire loses a body, two bodies essentially, because Le'Veon Bell and Damian Williams aren't going to be there. Akers gets the quarterback up. I'm sorry, I said Akers. Right. Gibson gets the quarterback upgrade and, you know, I don't know if you want to say loses a body, Peyton Barber being gone, but he loses a body. You know, so each of them have their own individual situations, but and for Dobbins as well, you know, he loses Mark Ingram. So all of them, I think, have the arrow pointing up for the most part. To me, Swift is kind of probably the arrow pointing sideways, just because, again, of Jamal Williams being there. But I think all these guys have the chance to hopefully improve based on what we've seen.
Is Peyton Barber gone?
Yeah, Lamar Miller's still there. I think Barber was a free agent.
Okay. Well, if you wanted to see some of the history with year two running backs, I looked at all of the year two running backs that were taken in the first four rounds for the last six seasons. You had guys like Jeremy Hill. He was a RB8. He was a huge bust. You're just some of the failures. There were plenty of success stories. But Todd Gurley, actually, believe it or not, he was the second pick overall. He was RB2. I think he was overall the second pick as well. And he didn't have a good sophomore year. It was weird. And he finished RB15. And just got a ton of work. Remember that year just wasn't that good for him. Zeke was great. Jordan Howard was fine. I mean, he was RB9, but he never had a year as good as his rookie year. He was a big play, explosive guy his rookie season, and he was just sort of a workhorse plotter after that. 2018 was following up on that amazing 2017 draft, and that one, I mean, Kamara was great. Fournette was good. He only played eight games. Kareem Hunt was great before he got suspended. McCaffrey finished as RB1. Dalvin Cook wasn't great. He was RB18 per game, but Mixon was great.
With injuries.
Yeah, and I think he was splitting with Latavius Murray that year. So that was a great year for year two running backs. 2019, Kerryon Johnson was a bust. Sony Michel was a bust. And then last year, Jacobs and Sanders, and now I'm done. Jacobs and Sanders were a little disappointing last year. They didn't take that step that we were hoping.
Right. Although Montgomery was awesome.
Montgomery was awesome. He wasn't drafted in the first four rounds, but yes, Melvin Gordon wasn't drafted in the first four rounds. He was awesome. There are plenty of examples of great year two picks, but unfortunately, there's Jeremy Langford in there, and there's some disappointments in there too.
But I think that, you know, to compare it to the 2017 class, not that these guys are the same caliber of players, but it might be close. You know, maybe
that's the question. That's where I was going with it. Yeah.
That there's the opportunity for these guys to step into those roles. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, look, they're going to be busts. That's just the nature of the position. They're going to be injuries. It's going to be a part of the process. And again, we're doing this on April 5th. The draft is still going to happen. So probably two of these guys are going to get ruined by competition from some rookie. Or still, you know, there's a James Conner floating around. I don't remember else who's free agent still, but, you know, Le'Veon Bell or one of these, you know, guys that are, you know, veterans still looking for jobs. So something could still ruin these backfields, you know, potentially dramatically. But at least for right now, they all look to be in relatively good shape. Again, except for maybe Swift, who's got some competition that could be annoying.
Yeah. So guys like Thomas Rawls, Jeremy Langford, Sony Michel, Kerryon Johnson, those are probably the... Wow, I can't believe they were drafted in the first four rounds. Carry on, I can believe it. It made sense.
I don't think that I think all of them have given us justification to draft in the first four rounds. Most of them finished as top 40 picks last year. But I do think there's some debate as to whether they've given us justification to take them in the first round.
But really the only one that's going to go in the first round for sure is Taylor. Akers maybe at this point, but Taylor's the only one I think you're going to see be drafted in the first round. And again, you know, I guess you could say maybe he got worse because of Marlon Mack coming back and losing Costanzo. And maybe the quarterback's a downgrade, you know. So
for some reason, Peyton Barber is still on the Washington football team.
Oh, okay. So
don't know why. It shouldn't matter. But
in any event, you know, you could say he got worse, his situation. But, you know, you're still talking about what hopefully is an elite situation for him, based on the offensive line still as a whole and the play caller.
Okay, and we'll see where James Robinson ends up if the Jaguars don't add anyone significant. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we've got three more rankings questions, fantasy regulators, and your emails on Fantasy Football Today. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Why is Ryan Tannehill ranked ahead of Kirk Cousins? Why do I even care enough to bring it up? That the second part I'm not sure about, but I thought they were kind of similar players, very efficient on low volume, well, passing volume offenses. But you all have Ryan Tannehill ahead of Kirk Cousins, even though Ryan Tannehill just lost his number two and number three weapons from 2020. So Heath, why is Ryan Tannehill ranked ahead of Kirk Cousins, who, by the way, threw well over 30 passes per game, 38 passes per game in his last eight games, and he absolutely crushed it. He was awesome.
Last two seasons, or since Tannehill's been a starter, his 17-game pace is 4,200 passing yards, 36 touchdowns.
17-game pace?
18. Well, yeah, he's going to play 17 games this year, I hope. 8 interceptions. Cousins basically has only been better than Tannehill the past 2 years in terms of passing yardage, and only by 100 yards over a 17-game pace. Tannehill more than makes up for that on the ground and with his efficiency, particularly not turning the ball over. Cousins turns the ball over more. So mostly it's the rushing production, but I also wanted to give a 17-game pace so you would get flustered.
Well, it worked. JV, why is Ryan Tannehill ranked ahead of Kirk Cousins after losing Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis?
I mean, I keep moving him down. I just don't know, like, where. To me, Tannehill feels like the type of quarterback that'll play a full season and end up like 11 or 12, but it won't be like he won you your league 11 or 12. Like, he was great 2 years ago when he stepped in for Marcus Mariota. He was very good last year. I don't want to take anything away from him, but like you said, he's losing weapons. He's losing his coordinator too. You know, I don't think that should just be overlooked just because the last time they lost a coordinator, the guy stepped in and was fine. You know, we'll see if Todd Downing can do the same thing that Arthur Smith did, but we still have to see what they do to replace fully these two guys. I think Josh Reynolds is a nice add. I don't know if he'll produce as well as Corey Davis did, and wouldn't surprise me if he's better. You know, not that Corey Davis was awesome. He just was good. So Josh Reynolds could be better. I doubt it, but he could be. And then we'll see if Anthony Firkser, if he's going to be the answer. But this is still a run-first team, and he's not the type of quarterback that you're going to ask to throw 600-plus times. It's just not the nature of what this offense and this team wants to do. So it wouldn't surprise me if Cousins is better. It wouldn't surprise me if a handful of quarterbacks are better, you know, that we look at. Like Roethlisberger, for example. He's going to throw more. He could be better than Tannehill. Wouldn't shock me. I'm not going to rank it that way, but it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, I think what was just interesting to me is that we've seen Tennessee have a bad defense, and they don't change their philosophy. At least they didn't under Arthur Smith. They still run the ball a ton. And overall,
it's going to take a Derrick Henry injury to change their philosophy.
Yeah. And overall, the Minnesota didn't really change their philosophy much either. They had the sixth fewest pass attempts in the NFL, but last half of the season, they threw the ball a lot, and it worked. Kirk Cousins was great. So I just wonder if they might turn him loose a little bit more.
Well, you're starting to hear Mike Zimmer maybe have to come around a little bit. You know, he's saying some things in his most recent, you know, press conferences, news conferences, that the NFL is changing. Passing games are changing. You know, I don't know if it was necessarily related to a defensive question or an offensive question. I just heard his answer. So, but he was saying, you know, like passing games are evolving. And, you know, hopefully he's talking about his own, because when you look at what the strength of this team is, it's Dalvin Cook first. So don't get away from that. But you have one of the young elite pass catchers that you saw last year in Justin Jefferson. You still have a very good complimentary guy in Adam Thielen. And I think if they turn Irv Smith loose, he would be one of the best playmaking tight ends in the NFL as well if they gave him an opportunity. So throw the ball a little bit more. Open up your offense. It'll open up your run game too.
All right, next topic. Heath, you can kick this one off. No San Francisco player has more than 5 touchdown catches since 2013. And that was Vernon Davis, who caught 13 touchdowns. Since then, 5 touchdowns has been the max receiving touchdowns for 49ers. How weird is that, and does that matter?
It matters a little bit. Like, I don't think it means that nobody's going to catch more than 5 touchdown passes this year. I have 2 players projected to catch more than 5 touchdown passes. But they haven't, I've only got the last 3 years here in front of me. They haven't thrown for more than 28 touchdowns in a season any of the past 3 years. And they notoriously spread the ball around. So I think it matters. It also kind of illustrates how much trouble a lot of the guys that they're counting on have had staying healthy. So it's relevant. I really think, like, George Kittle's got to have an 8 or 9 or 10 touchdown season at some point, doesn't he?
17 games. Maybe he'll catch 3 in week 18.
Yeah, maybe he'll get 6 since they're playing the 17th game.
Yeah. I don't know. It was weird. Kittle has played, I think, 16, 14, and 8 games in his last 3 seasons, and he hasn't been able to get over 5 touchdowns, but he has been on a 16-game pace for, I want to say, 1,200 or more yards every year. So, Jamie, if I could tell you right now that George Kittle was not going to catch more than, let's say, since there's 17 games, let's say 6 touchdowns, would you still take him in the second round?
In PPR, yes. In non-PPR, no. Okay. So he's my 3rd tight end. You know, I think Waller, as their teams are built right now, Waller has less competition for targets. So I think Waller is the better tight end. I had this conversation with 2 49ers fans yesterday, and they're both like, "You have Waller 2nd? And they're like, "Oh, yeah, I guess it makes sense." You know, because if Ayuk and Debo do what they're supposed to do and maybe catch more than 5 touchdowns as well, you know, Waller doesn't have that same level of competition. I just don't buy John Brown and Henry Ruggs and Brian Edwards being better than those 2 guys.
It's a little weird that you know 2 49ers fans.
In South Florida, no less.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I know 1 49ers fan, but yeah. Heath, how many 49ers fans do you know?
I can only think of 1, and he's in South Florida.
Same guy, maybe?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But it could be.
All right, last topic here. Over the last 2 seasons, A.J. Brown has 19 touchdowns on 190 targets. Julio Jones has 9 touchdowns on 225 targets. You have A.J. Brown top 5 right now. You have Julio Jones. Jamie has Julio Jones 12th, and Heath has him 18th. But yeah, this is just a fun one. A.J. Brown, 19 touchdowns on 190 targets. Julio, 9 touchdowns on 225 targets. Jamie, discuss.
I mean, it's the story of Julio's career, right? He just doesn't find the end zone, but you know he's going to get a lot of targets. That, I don't think it's going to change very much. Now, A.J. Brown's going to get a lot of targets if the pass catchers don't change significantly in Tennessee, but this isn't it. I mean, you should be drafting A.J. Brown over Julio Jones. That's clearly the way to approach it this year, but I don't think Julio's done. I don't think he's going to struggle barring injury, but that's been a problem for him. So hopefully Julio continues to get the targets, and maybe, you know, Arthur Smith helps him the way he helped A.J. Brown over the last couple of seasons.
I'm going to try to make your Azer stat just a little bit better.
Okay.
Julio Jones, or A.J. Brown has 19, is that right?
Yeah.
Over his 190 career targets?
Uh-huh.
Julio Jones has 20 touchdowns over his last 543 targets.
That's so great. That is a much better stat, by the way.
504, like, but more for me also, like with the ranking thing, I project A.J. Brown to have a career high in targets this year. And I project Julio Jones to have his fewest targets since 2016. So
yeah,
that's a big part of it too. Now, if the Falcons really draft Kyle Pitts or a quarterback or don't take a running back in the first round or two, then I will adjust my expectations of the offense they're going to run. Like if Mike Davis and Ito Smith are the plan at running back, then I think I'm probably just going to assume that he's going to a pass heavy scheme.
Wouldn't it be weird if Julio ended his career? He became this like 800 yard guy, but caught 8 touchdowns. He caught 10 touchdowns or something like that.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. He became like, started to go the Adam Thielen route or something. Okay. Well, that's a fun one and something to keep in mind. It's amazing how efficient A.J. Brown has been and inefficient Julio's been for so long now in terms of touchdown rate. So, FFT listeners, baseball season is here. If you want to solely run the team that you are co-managing with your friend or just dominate your fantasy baseball league that you are in by yourself, make sure you're listening to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5. Stay up to date with all the latest news, the waiver wire advice, the pitchers to stream in just 5 minutes or less. Download and follow anywhere you listen to this podcast. That's Fantasy Baseball Today in 5. Here we go. The Fantasy Cops are back. This is a weird one. From Chris. I have a rather complex league situation for you to regulate or at least discuss. One of the managers in our league started leaving empty spots on his roster during the week as a player from the previous week went on bye or was injured. This was mildly annoying as opponents did not know which players they would be up against and were unable to easily assess their real chances of winning. This degenerated to him benching all of his players each week and in future weeks, bringing them off the bench on Thursday or Sunday morning. As the playoffs progressed and he continued winning, he continued this behavior, waiting later each week before putting players in his lineup, up to Monday night in some cases. Of course, we all secretly hoped for a power outage or an internet malfunction and for him to not be able to set his lineup and have empty spots. Sadly, no such luck. He went on to win the league. I realize that his behavior does not impact the scoring or which manager wins each week, but it does take some fun out of the league as managers are in the dark about their contest. I do not think there is any rule against this, but I'm interested to know what your onion is. It's a typo on this, and if you think there are actions which can or should be taken against the guy who will not put his starters in his lineup until the game start.
We need to give credit to this. I believe CD Carter on Twitter is someone who tells people to do this just to get in your opponent's head and mess with them. And it seems like this has worked very well for this guy.
I never even thought about that. It never occurred to me.
Well, this wouldn't impact you at all because you never look at your opponent's lineup. So
For myself, I had never thought about doing that to my opponent. But you're right. This would never impact me.
Yeah. Don't look.
Just wait for karma because eventually one day something's going to happen on a Saturday and he's not going to set his lineup. And then he's going to be like, oh, let me change my lineup. Nope. Sorry. You lose.
Yeah, but why would the commissioner not do that, though? Like, if you had a power outage...
Oh, yes, for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You mean if I had a power outage, I said, Jamie, I can't set my lineup. Can you do it for me? I know you wouldn't do it for me because of what I did.
I wouldn't do it for you because I'm a fair commissioner and a good co-manager. You would not do it for me because you'd say, we're not even part of the same league.
Yeah. Adam would just set your lineup for you and not tell you about it.
That's true. You're welcome.
Change my team name.
I did change your team name in that one league, right?
You did. Yeah. And then I thought it was Nando and I changed his name.
Oh, well, Nando told me to do it. All right, so there's nothing you can do. This is weird. Karma will set in after he wins his third straight championship. So don't worry.
It's also fun.
It's funny, yeah. Okay, time for emails. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This is from James. He says, hey, Roman, Phillip, Jacoby, and Russell. I feel like those are NC State quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. It's going.
Wow. I don't know who the Roman is, but
good
job.
Yeah, I don't either. Roman Gabriel, 2-time All-American, I think. Don't know him. 14-team PPR, start 3 receivers, 2 running backs, and a flex. I can keep 2 of the 4. Kittle in the 2nd, Swift in the 3rd, Edmonds in the 9th, and Higgins in the 12th. T. Higgins in the 12th.
Keep 2?
Yeah.
It's PPR?
Yeah. Higgins is easy, right?
Yep.
So Kittle in the second, Swift in the third, or Chase Edmonds in the ninth?
I mean, if the Cardinals come out of this and Chase Edmonds is their starter, then that's the easy one too. But otherwise, I'd probably go Swift.
I'd go Swift, yeah.
All right, this is from Kyle from the home of the garbage plate. I have no idea what that means.
I know what it is, but I don't know where it is.
What is the garbage plate?
It's like what you would like a really unhealthy, very delicious plate of food that just has all kinds of stuff thrown into it.
Oh, Rochester, New York.
There you go.
You should go.
Okay, let's see. The garbage plate. Let's see what we can. All right, I'm going to scan it. I don't really know what's in it, but I'll try to find out. Here's the question. I don't care about the question anymore. All right. Okay. Keeper league. I'm going to keep Stefon Diggs in the fourth. I can keep any of these players for the next 3 years at this price. So I guess it's just pick one here. It's half PPR. It's 7 points for a rushing touchdown and 6 for receiving and 5 for passing with some bonuses factored in as well.
Did you do the names? Because I knew that.
Oh, hey, Jack, Tracy, Liz, and Kenneth.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
30 Rock.
Yeah.
All right, pick one. Dobbins in the sixth, Josh Allen in the seventh, CeeDee Lamb in the eighth, or Jalen Hurts in the 18th.
And what's the format?
Half PPR, 7 points for a rushing touchdown, 6 for receiving, 5 for passing, 100-yard game bonuses, 50-plus yard touchdown bonuses.
And you keep how many of these guys?
One. Dobbins in the sixth, Allen in the seventh, Lamb in the eighth, Jalen Hurts in the 18th.
I think you got to go Hurts because the rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to go Dobbins, but just because I feel like he's going to be, I'm just not 100% sure Jalen Hurts is going to be a good fantasy quarterback for the next 3 years.
If Jalen Hurts gets 8 rushing touchdowns, like Josh Allen did.
I'm not sure that the garbage plate is a specific recipe, but it's home fries, pasta salad, baked beans, mac and cheese, French fries, other you basically put whatever the hell you want on it. Okay. I'm not really super interested.
You should go.
I have no idea where Rochester is. So
near Syracuse, right?
Sure. All right, this is from Brandon. Dear Brain Gremlin, Vegetable Gremlin, and Electricity Gremlin. Those are gremlins. Where would you guys go with this? I could keep up to 8. I could keep up to 8 of these guys as long as the combined value is below 15. Jeez, I don't know.
This is fun.
This is going to be tough.
And this is easy.
Okay, Kelsey 7, Diggs 6, McCaffrey 4, Kupp 4, Barkley 3, Godwin 3, Hunt 1, Antonio Brown 1, oh, it might be AJ Brown. I don't know. A. Brown 1, Crowder 1, Lazard 1, Goddard 1, Lynn Bowden 0. Make it add up to 15 or less.
McCaffrey, Barkley, Godwin.
That's 10.
What'd you say, Heath?
McCaffrey, Barkley, Godwin.
And that's how much?
10.
10.
I don't see how A.J. Brown could be 1. It's got to be Antonio Brown.
I think you have to keep Hunt at 1.
Would you say you can keep up to 8 of them, but they can't add up to more than 15. Kelsey 7, Diggs is 6, so that's 13 right there. You probably can't keep any of them. McCaffrey, Barkley, Godwin is 10. McCaffrey, Barkley,
guys that are less than 10.
Kelsey is 14. You could go
Kelsey is 14 by himself?
No, Kelsey, McCaffrey, Barkley is 14. And then you can add
it's
like Kareem
Hunt. The other 3.
Yeah, but if you go McCaffrey, Barkley, Godwin, you could also go
Kupp and Hunt.
Kupp and Hunt. Or you could go Kupp and Goddard.
Goddard's a dollar?
Yeah.
And Hunt is a dollar?
Mm-hmm.
So you can go Goddard, Hunt, Godwin, McCaffrey, Barkley, and still have $3 left?
Yes.
Would you rather have Goddard and $3 or Cooper Kupp? I don't know if there's anywhere to spend the $3.
No, you're not going the $3 route because nobody else is really worth keeping.
Well, you can throw in Antonio Brown there, right? If you want to.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way you curate these questions so that we get the best possible experience for the listener.
All right, this is from No Name. I'm going to be drafting in a Dynasty Superflex League that's full PPR. Passing touchdowns are 4 points. How would you change your draft strategy because of the Superflex position? I'm looking to get a young receiver like Justin Jefferson in the first or the second round. Would it be a mistake taking a receiver in the first round over a quarterback? Should I go QB in the first two rounds? So again, this is a Dynasty Superflex startup league. It's PPR. Passing touchdowns are 4 points. What do you do?
How many teams? 10 or 12?
12. Oh, never mind. I don't know. The next question is 12. This one, I'm not sure.
I mean, you're going to see, what, 5 to 7 quarterbacks in the first round?
Yeah, I was trying to get to it, but I like Mahomes, Kyler, Lamar, Allen all definitely need to go first round. Probably Dak, Herbert, and Burrow, too. Well, at least their second round. I don't know. No idea where Watson would go. I wouldn't take Justin Jefferson over any of those first four quarterbacks I said. If they're available in the first round, I'm taking Mahomes, Murray, Jackson, or Allen.
Right, and if you're at the back end of the first round and you're looking at Jefferson and three or four of those quarterbacks, you take Jefferson and just take the quarterback that's available to you.
Yep, I like that too.
Last question is from Dave. Dear Jim, Joe, and Josh.
Can he just ask us tomorrow on the show?
Are you on tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. Dear Jim, Joe, and Josh.
Unless you change me.
I love this power I have. 12-team PPR, $250 salary cap league. You only have to start one running back and three wide receivers and a tight end and a flex. I can keep Jonathan Taylor for $19 or George Kittle for $7. For $12, seven less. Jonathan Taylor for $19 or Kittle for $12. This is out of $250. What would you do?
Taylor.
I would keep Kittle.
I'm not sure you guys have agreed on any of these emails today.
Yeah, we just agreed on the last one.
Yeah.
We agree that you're an idiot moron.
Do I still have... I don't know where that drop is. Okay, well, you all know it anyway. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for your emails.
Was that 8 questions? Did you get to 8? All 8?
1, 2, 3, 4... Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I put 5 in here? How could that be?
You said at the top of the show, we're going to get to 8 emails.
I thought I had more. All right, I'll do more. We got time. Ready? Let's do more. Give me a minute. You can talk about how was your weekend?
So these are the ones that didn't make the cut instead of the one where we had to add up 14 players to become $15.
Look, I don't want to tell you how I choose what emails make the show. I don't think people would like that very much.
Well, now I think people are curious. How do you do it?
It's the last thing I do. It's always scrambling to put emails in the show before it's time to go on the air, which is one of the reasons why I'm always 2 minutes late for every show. And I don't really get a chance to read them before I put them in the notes. I just copy and paste, and I hope for the best. And this one...
Well, you'll be happy to know that since you delayed this, Ian Rappaport has just tweeted, are you ready?
Yes.
That Giants quarterback, Daniel Jones.
Go on.
We'll spend the week in Arizona working out with his team's offensive weapons.
Whoa. All right, let's talk about bonus pot. We're going to do a bonus pot on that after this show. All right, here's an email from Josh. Greetings, John, Eric, Chelsea, and Bell. This is apparently an excellent Netflix show. John, Eric, Chelsea, and Bell. By the way, you all have less than 1 month to watch Kingdom before it's off Netflix, so do it. That would be the Kingdom, the MMA show. This is John, Eric, Chelsea, and Bell are from Bloodline. All right, the question is, which side do you like better in this dynasty trade? Goff, Chenault, Hardman, and the 8th pick of the upcoming rookie draft, pick 1.8. Goff, Chenault, Hardman, 1.8, or Jerry Jeudy and Josh Jacobs?
Jeudy and Jacobs by a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, see, that was easy. Dan in Montreal, dear Hawk, Rock, and the Kid.
Wrestlers?
Sure. 12-team Dynasty Superflex startup, half PPR, with kickers as draft picks in the rookie draft. I lost control. I now have picks 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 8, and 9 in the first round.
Congratulations.
Holy cow. I need help at all positions.
Obviously.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand. He says his wide receiver core is passable. How is this a startup? This is not a startup. He must have just meant rookie. Okay, so anyway, who would you target? I don't, this is so... Just take all the good players. What, I don't even know what to say.
What's his? Did he say what his receivers are?
He just says my receiving core is passable.
Yeah.
Yeah, if Dan. Passable, don't do whatever you got to do.
He has picks 1, 2, 3.
He has 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 8, and 9.
1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 8, and 9. So you're gonna get 2 potential running backs. 1 receiver, maybe Pitts, maybe a quarterback.
I think you look at the team with the 4 pick and see if they are set at quarterback or tight end. And whichever one they're set at, you can leave Pitts or Lawrence for the 5th pick.
So I guess I'll tell you the part that I didn't read. The pick, the guy, who, there's the same team has picks 4 and 7, if that matters.
I mean, it does, to Heath's point, if they have quarterback and tight end issues. If they don't, then you know they're going to be looking at running back and wide receiver.
He's going quarterback, running back. That's the guy thinks he's going to go quarterback, running back.
Well, then I'd take Lawrence probably at 3.
Okay, there we go. Let's move on. Last one, number 8, from Eric. Dear Wayne, Daryl, Katie, and Squirrely Dan. NC State quarterbacks. I'm in a very competitive 16-team half
Wilkinson would be upset with you.
Half PPR auction keeper league. Each team has $150 to fill their roster. Three receiver league. Okay. So he's got $150. Here's who he's keeping. Lamar Jackson for 19. Jonathan Taylor, I'll just give you Jackson, Taylor, Akers, Dobbins, and Ayuk. That gives him $62 to fill out the rest of his roster. He's got Jackson, Taylor, Akers, Dobbins, and Ayuk. With $62 left, should I prioritize getting an elite tight end and going cheap on my wide receivers and bench? Or should I spread my money out between middle tier wide receivers, tight end, and bench spots?
I guess the first thing to check would be, is anybody keeping one of the elite tight ends? Because if there's this much money available and this many keepers, probably Kelce, Kittle, and Waller are going to be off the table. Or the potential of them being off the table. So... You know, do you want to overspend for Andrews or Hockenson or Goddard or any of the other guys that you consider to be in the next tier? Or do you just want to sort of slow play to see how the auction goes or the salary cap goes? But you might want to try and get one top tier wide receiver and then one of those tight ends and then try and see if you could backfill the rest of your receiving core as cheap as possible.
Okay. Cosign. Thanks for listening, everyone. Back tomorrow to talk about running backs with new offensive coordinators and maybe some PFF offensive line grades as well. And whatever news pops up, make sure you're listening to Fantasy Football Today in 5 as well. Yes.
You know Daniel Jones.
Going to Arizona?
Going to work out with his receivers.
Yeah, that's great. Wow.
I wonder if the lack of humidity will help him hold on to the ball.
Trade him to Arizona. Well, I'll take that quarterback swap. Okay, see you later, everybody. Great outro. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.